KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. Hey, hey, hey. One more time. Welcome you in here to the Tuesday, September 9th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Borling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Alongside executive producer.
What are you doing with him?
What do you do, man? Jesse just producing both shows now.
That's what he do, man.
Kind of sneaky in here all the time.
Young goat.
Yes, indeed, man. Thrilled that everybody's here. Shout out to the insiders. We had to make this crossover a little bit quicker than we normally do, but it's all good because, man, do we have a lot to talk about. A lot of it centers on the 49ers. Interesting game last night. Interesting game last night. We'll talk a little bit about that as the day progresses. Also... Giants.
Well, I mean,
just gonna say.
Well, you know,
you're Giants.
I'm watching. I was watching last night. Shout out that boy Drew Gilbert. That's a wild boy right there. Drew Gilbert. That's a wild boy. Drew Gilbert is a wild, wild boy.
Gotta stay tuned.
When do we think the tweets come out?
Oh, I hope not. I really hope not. Went to Tennessee. I don't know where you're from.
Good old Rocky Top. Good old Rocky Top indeed. Something wrong with your boy. But we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. So we were on the air yesterday when Kyle Shanahan's conference call said that Brock Purdy's got the toe in the shoulder. Mm-hmm. He also announced that George Kittle is probably going to be out a few weeks. We wondered in a real-time reaction whether Kittle would be headed to IR. That question has been asked and answered. George Kittle is headed to IR, so he's out a minimum of 4 weeks. And when we tried to guess a timeline yesterday, we actually had it at about week six, and you very astutely put that on after the so-called mini bye after week five, which would set things up, which I think was also a home game for week six.
They go to Tampa Bay, then they come home for Atlanta. We thought
Atlanta's
maybe
the week six game, or is that the week seven game?
That's the week seven game.
Gotcha.
They may hold them out until the Atlanta game, which would be more than the 4 weeks.
Yeah, which is what they did with Christian McCaffrey last year. If you remember, Christian McCaffrey went to IR, and he missed much more than the four-week period. And then the news that you and many other 49er fans were waiting for came out today. Since week 10 of last year, Jake Moody has missed 12 of 23 field goals.
Come on, man.
Completion percentage of 52. Hell? That is 11 percentage points worse than any other kicker in the NFL. However, as of this morning, he is no longer the San Francisco 49ers kicker.
And I'll just say it's about time. I'm not going to dance on the man's grave. Don't want nothing bad to happen to him. This is his career. I hope he catches on with another team and can resurrect his career. But we've said it a number of different times. It was not going to happen in San Francisco. He was cooked mentally and emotionally with the pressures of being the 49ers kicker. Like, it was done. And we thought that last year.
Can you stop right there?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. It was not being a kicker in the NFL. It was being a kicker for the San Francisco 49ers, a team that has tremendously high expectations every time they step on the field, every single season. Mm-hmm. You think it was more that than it was just being a kicker in the NFL?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say yes, because that means that he can still resurrect his career. Mm-hmm. That still means that he's an NFL kicker. I mean, he was a good kicker at Michigan. He was good enough to be drafted into the league. So him
third-round pick from what I've heard.
Third-round pick. Him having the yips or whatever is it's a new thing. Like, he hadn't experienced nothing like this. He hadn't shown signs of anything like this. The pressures of not only playing for a team with championship aspirations like the 49ers, but also the expectations of being a third-round pick, like you mentioned. That may have been too much for him. Mm-hmm. And now if you go somewhere else, there's really no expectations. Like, if you're picked up by the Colts, it's like, oh, somebody got hurt. We're bringing in this guy, Jake Moody. Let's see what he can do. Or if you go to somebody's practice squad or next season you get into a training camp and you're in a competition, there's a certain level of pressure of that because of your career and, like, what's going on with that. But, yeah, it was becoming too much. And then you have the fans. The fan base of the 49ers is pretty intense when it comes to winning and losing games. So I think that played the biggest role into what was going on in his struggles when you talk about Jake Moody.
So news I wasn't expecting from Shams Charania as media day and training camp opens up just under 3 weeks from now. Josh Giddey has reached an agreement on a 4-year, $100 million deal with the Chicago Bulls. Mm. Fascinating. A 4-year, $100 million deal for a player that I don't know who else was pursuing.
Just doing right by your guy, though?
Yeah, that's sweet. Sure.
Well, I mean, because I saw, too, like, he wanted 30. I think they were offering 20 at one point. Maybe you should meet in the middle, I guess. But.
We're still cooking right now, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
We said this from the beginning. This was unlike this. There's no restricted free agency situation like the Jonathan Kuminga one. Nothing. We lumped them all together because it was odd to see this. We had never seen, like, this level of inactivity with restricted free agents, especially from guys that are pretty good. And Josh Giddey's a good ball player. We knew Chicago wanted him. Like, that has been made clear from every Bulls beat writer out there, been made clear from our man Marshall Harris and everything that he does in Chicago. Chicago wants Josh Giddey back. Josh Giddey wants to be in Chicago. They were, I guess, just playing the contract negotiation game. I didn't think it would end in 25 mil per, but salute to Josh Giddey and his team over at, according to Shams Charania, Lighthouse Sports Management, because they got the job done. I mean, if you ask me what I thought Josh Giddey would sign for, that's kind of in the range of what I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, truthfully, I might have said like 4 and 80, but I don't think 4 and 100 is a stretch. But as this thing, you know, kind of went along, I wasn't sure that that's where this was going to end. I didn't think it would end in the qualifying offer, but I don't know that I thought it would end in $100 million either. So good for Josh getting the Bulls, I guess.
Yeah, I look at that kind of how Jesse spoke about it just now. Is if this is a guy that you believe in to be part of your franchise, being one of the pillars of your franchise, you do right by him in that situation. He's your point guard. You know, he's the head of the snake in a lot of respects. And it's very rare that these type of things happen, you know, where the organization seemingly does right by the player when they don't have to when it comes to money. But I think that's the right way to handle this if you're the Bulls. You look at him as your franchise point guard, and you want to move forward with him. Even though you probably could have got away with giving him $14 million, make a commitment to him. Mm-hmm. $25 million a year, 4 years, $100 million total. Make that commitment to him. So it's rare that it happens. It's very rare that it, or at least it feels like it's rare that it happens, that the organization spends money they don't necessarily have to. But I think this was the right call on their part, if they're believers in Josh Gideon that way.
Well, again, they wanted him as a part of their team. Mm-hmm. And so, Jesse laid it out. You're going to do right by your guys. Like, it's not, I don't think it's a bad look. It's just given the way that this offseason went. Like, I guess I'm fascinated at the idea that Cam Thomas isn't a good basketball player.
People, I don't like the way people look at basketball nowadays in a lot of respects. And that's called, Cam Thomas falls into that. Like, oh, he just a scorer. Like, we don't need him. Like, all right. The guy can average 20 points per game in this league, given the opportunity. You don't just look at him as disposable.
Houston may very literally have lost in the playoffs because they didn't have a go-to scorer. Right. Now, they got the ultimate go-to scorer this offseason. But to act like, you know, and obviously KD can do a lot of other things, but to act like a player the likes of Cam doesn't have value in the league is a little silly to me.
Yeah, and it's the way that a lot of people look at the game right now. A lot of people write about the game, do podcasts about the game. GMs look at the game and they're so damn smart, but get fired every 2 years.
Right.
Because it is just the way they look at the game. And I just disagree with it.
That was a completely unnecessary shot at Mike Brown, by the way. Mike Brown ain't bothering
well,
nobody.
He's not a GM.
He out in New York and he ain't bothering nobody.
I just disagree with it. Like I said, they have their reasons for looking at guys like Cam Thomas that way. I just think there is some value to what those guys bring to the table. And I think at this point they're being undervalued, guys like Cam Thomas.
Cam signs his qualifying offer. Josh Giddey signs his long-term contract. That leaves Quentin Grimes with Philly. And
Kuminga Watch
continues.
I do think we're getting close. What I say?
Well, we have to be.
This was Thursday or Friday, and I said it would take more than 10 days. I said about 13 days. I think that they're going to get this taken care of one way or another. No Jerry Jones here. One way or another before media day.
Well, if it was Jerry Jones, this thing would be over in 2 hours. The second one way or another hit the media, it was over two. It was over before our show ended.
It really was. But they'll have this done before media day, which is, would you say, about 2-3 weeks away from?
Media day for the Kings is 3 weeks from yesterday. So I imagine they're all kind of in that vicinity. Yeah. I think the Warriors is traditionally a couple of days earlier than either a day or two earlier than Sacramento's.
Usually, and we can look this up if we want, but they sometimes they're part of the group that goes over to China or something for preseason stuff. So they start like 10 days.
Right.
I don't know if they're doing that this year, but that's happened a couple of times in the past.
Turns out that was not something that was easily searchable. Okay, let's try this a different way. When is, and here we go, Golden State Warriors Media Day. Great, I have Media Day for last year. Do we need that? Do we need when the Warriors had Media Day last year? Because I've got that. If anybody needs it, I got it.
Nah, I think we're good.
Okay, all right. Just keep it moving. Someone text Bonte. If Bonte's still taking our calls, this man's everywhere. He's hosting fireside chats with Jerry Rice. He's,
man,
49ers stuff, Giants stuff.
Making moves, baby. I see you. I see you, Bonte.
He probably changed his number. Probably can't even get a hold of Bonte no more.
I was texting Bonte this morning, matter of fact.
Oh, maybe it's just me who can't get a hold of Bonte.
He was pretty funny this morning. It was pretty funny.
Was he on the morning roast?
No. Well, he was, but I didn't hear him there. Oh. I got to go back and listen. But like I can say, he put it on Twitter. My David Lombardi tweeted out, like, after the Vegas, the 49ers win in Vegas in the preseason, he said, Jake Moody is accepting all apologies right now. They've been lighting his ass up for that tweet in Bonte.
Man, don't ever, don't tweet.
He was doing too much, though. He was doing too much with Jake Moody. Like, you guys just don't understand. All right, I understand he keeps missing kicks.
What don't I understand? Okay. Okay. Let's walk through this together. The ball didn't go through the uprights. I got that part down. Now tell me the part that I don't understand.
I don't get it. And
I get it. He wanted to believe in Jake Moody. There's nothing wrong with that.
Silently. What do you mean he's accepting apologies for a preseason kick he missed two field goals in the game?
You don't have to tweet everything.
Thank you.
Say that. You don't have to tweet everything. I will say this though, and we'll talk more about this. As this hour progresses, but we gave you the stat a second ago. Since week 10 of last year, Jake Moody has made 12 of 23 field goals. That's a 52% clip. 11 percentage points worse than any other kicker. Mm. Math, and as I learned last night when I got asked to help with the sixth graders' homework.
Wow, it's good luck.
Oh my God.
It was math?
Yes.
Yeah, I stay away from that.
Yeah, so she's walking me through this and she goes, you changed it because she had like a correction thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I got this problem wrong. It was like, okay, what did you say the answer was? And I'm looking at it. I was like, oh, okay, I understand how I see what you did wrong to get to here. She was like, okay, let's walk through it. So you change this sign and you change this sign. Then this negative and this negative makes this a positive and it's this. And it's like, what? Why are you doing that?
Exactly.
You're changing the whole problem.
Exactly.
And so I was like, okay, I don't understand anything you just said. Hang on one second. I put the equation in my calculator and I was like, okay, I got the answer. Now we need to walk through how we did this. Mm. I don't understand.
It's ridiculous.
Teachers, stop giving children homework. You have to stop giving homework because we don't know how to do the homework anymore.
I got to go back to school.
I have not done fifth grade math in a very long time. And whatever y'all are teaching I do not understand.
That's the killer right there.
She showed me these notes and I'm just looking at them like... What?
They have these kids, and no, the teachers are doing what they can and what they're told to do. They have them learning math so ass backwards nowadays.
See,
I have no idea.
And y'all are absolutely hilarious because Katie blurted out the same thing because she's just sitting there silently as I'm dying this death here. And her office says, "Welcome to Common Core." She said, she's like, no, Common Core is terrible. What the hell is Common Core?
It's another word for ass.
So what we're saying is they're teaching kids ass math now.
This is
not the math we used at Club Ricky's back in.
Well,
it's not far off. I did not understand it at all. And I was like, here's what I need you to do. And we walked through how, because I understood the answer. Mm-hmm. And we walked through it. And when I tell you it took one problem, 30 minutes to go over this one problem together, I was like, I need you to listen. I finally got her to understand how we got here. Mm-hmm. I said, I need you to put this answer down. And if this is the wrong answer, you tell your teacher to call me. Because if this is the wrong answer, I'm not going to be able to help you with any of this. And she has these everything is her writing, so there's the computer type out, but then it's like, well, the negative now is a positive because this was a negative. It's like, I don't...
These poor children.
I don't get it.
What's wrong with just saying 2 + 2 = 4?
Well, because she's in fifth grade, so she's a little past that, but you have the parentheses, right?
Yeah.
I know this. Mm-hmm. Like, you do the parentheses first.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you change the... No,
we
stop it.
We don't change anything.
Why are you changing things?
We just multiply right after that. That's all we do.
Literally changing the equation. I don't understand why we're doing this. And truth be told, I still don't understand. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? Forget it. Put this number down. Have the teacher call me. Grab the four-year-old and said, let's go do your homework. Okay, let's write down words that start with a B. Awful.
That was tough.
Awful.
It was tough. I bless my wife's heart because I stay away from
it's
the math.
Awful.
Stay away.
Stop. This is just terrible. And of course, now the parents look like idiots. I could not have felt dumber trying to explain this to her. Who, and she couldn't have looked at me like I was any dumber. She was like, no, why don't you change this and this? Because there's nothing that says I have to. Well, no, look, this is what my notes say. All right, man. The point is, no matter what math you use, Jake Moody stunk.
Yes.
Whether a Common Core math or the math we learned back in the day.
All of them.
It says that Jake Moody stunk. That doesn't mean everything is going to be perfect at the kicker position.
No.
And so I think maybe a resetting of expectations should be done with San Francisco 49ers fans. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk about Brock Purdy as well. His status is up in the air. We're not going to get – today's the deadest day of the NFL week. We're not going to get anything today. I truthfully don't imagine we're going to get anything tomorrow as it pertains to Brock Purdy. We'll get an update. There'll be practice. There'll be tweets. There'll be video. There'll be all of that stuff. But I don't think a true update is coming for a couple of more days. So we'll talk about what the week ahead might look like. We'll dive into the game a little bit. Last night, we talked about your Giants. We got that on the way. Week one overreactions. Trista Crick, Jason Jones. All of that ahead here on the Tuesday edition of D'Lo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Phone lines are open for you if you want to get in here. Trista doesn't join us for another 90 minutes, so we've got some time to hang out. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line at 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on the conversations, obviously a lot of them center around NBA news. Josh Giddey signs a four-year, $100 million deal with the Chicago Bulls. Massive news. No, not a lot of things have been happening in the NBA recently, but we have two of the main four restricted free agents that we have spent a lot of time talking about this season, and now it's just Quentin Grimes and, of course, Jonathan Kuminga. None of these situations are intertwined with each other, so how this plays out, it'll be interesting to see, but time is ticking one way or another. You said you think this is the Jonathan Kuminga situation is going to get resolved. Do you think it's going to get resolved before media day? Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't, we're nearing a resolution because I don't see any situation where anyone extends the date to sign this qualifying offer, which I believe is October 1st. So one way or another, this whole situation...
Kuminga watch.
It's coming to an end. And whether that ends with him on a different team, whether it ends up with him back with the Golden State Warriors, Sacramento Kings, whoever... It's going to end. We'll just follow along and see here. We'll just follow along and see.
Yeah. I'm ready for it to come to an end, too. Like, somebody's got to make a decision here. Warriors, Kuminga. Like, it's almost time for the season. Like, let's focus on what you're doing for this next season. I think Jonathan Kuminga's going to sign the qualifying offer. I think that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
The Warriors will... just be stubborn in that respect and be like, we're not trading him. We'll lose him for nothing. We might not even play him that much this year. And that's how life is going to be. And it's going to be a mismanagement of a young player.
And in truth be told, like, you mismanaged him in February. Like, if you knew this is where you were going to be, you probably could have done something in February. You chose not to. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. Everybody loses in this. Everyone. Yeah. The Warriors, Kuminga, everybody. But good for Josh Giddey. Four-year, $100 million deal with the Chicago Bulls. Where the Chicago Bulls are going, who knows?
I wonder what they're going to do with Coby White at this point. Coby White makes a nice little chunk of money. I know they had talked about potentially moving on from him before free agency started. Mm-hmm. It was a guy that... you know, a lot of people thought he might be traded at some point. I wonder what their plan is for him. You know, I don't really see a scenario where you should be having Josh Giddey and Coby White in your backcourt as a starting backcourt. Maybe they look at Coby White as a six-man type guy because he is such a dynamic scorer.
Well, you'll have a decision to make one way or another because he's entering the last year of his contract at 12.8.
Yeah.
So... you're going to have to make a decision one way or another. Coby White's a good ball player. He's a
really good ball player.
I feel like he'd have trouble finding a home.
No, but who knows?
But I don't know.
He's just a scorer.
Clearly, I don't understand the league, so I don't watch enough games. I don't know ball. Oh, no,
he's
ball.
Just the scorer, so you don't want that.
Are you as distraught as Kyle Mattson was about the thought of Mac Jones potentially being under center this weekend?
No, not at all, man, especially when my thing with Mac Jones has been you can get by with him for a game or two. And if that's mm-hmm. all that this is, I have no problem with that. I think they'll beat New Orleans relatively easily with Mac Jones under center. A lot of that has to do with the fact that I'm really impressed with the 49ers defense on Sunday and what they're able to do if they're going up against a team that isn't loaded with offensive weapons. They still may be able to stop teams that with a lot of offensive weapons, but I'm very confident if you don't have enough weapons at the quarterback position, outside at the wide receiver position, in those areas, it's going to be a tough day for anybody going up against that 49er defense. So as long as Mac Jones doesn't turn the ball over multiple times, they should handle that game relatively easily with him under center.
Yeah.
Ball to CMC about 35, 40 times that day, I think.
That's what you did. I mean, 30 plus CMC at least. Got a lot of touches in week one, yeah? Let's not forget, we weren't 100% sure he was going to play on Sunday.
The Niners win this game, I think. Like, you don't have to be great. It's just don't let Mac Jones do too much.
Yeah, and I mean, even with that, like, you want Mac Jones throwing the ball maybe 22, 23 times. You know, that's the sweet spot right there. That means you are moving the ball on the ground. And even when you move the ball on the ground, it doesn't necessarily always have to be CMC. Mm-hmm. Now that you have Brian Robinson, you mm-hmm. got a week under his belt. Maybe he gets 10, 11 of those carries. But let Mac Jones drop back, like I said, about 23 to 25 times. A lot of easy pitch and catch opportunities for him. You know, don't ask him to force too much.
But that gets a little more difficult with Kittle gone, no?
It does answer your question, but Kyle Shanahan has gotten a number of different people open. Right. And if it's Tunges, if it's Farrell, if it's Kendrick Bourne, there'll be guys wide
open. Hell, shout out to Tunges. He wasn't even open on that last play.
Right.
And I said probably 35-40 carries. I mean like 35-40 touches for McCaffrey. So if you got to swing him out for some check downs about 10 times this game, then just feed your best player the ball.
So, and that's the thing right there is the guy, we could talk about Tunges, we could talk about, you know, different tight ends, slots, all of that stuff. The guy who might make up the most for George Kittle being gone, from an offensive perspective, obviously you have to take the blocking out of this, is Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Because the pitch and catch that you're talking about right there with Mac Jones and whoever could wind up being, as Jesse pointed out, Christian McCaffrey.
For sure. For sure. Scooter in the chat, he says, get Robinson more involved this week. Absolutely no reason to overload CMC now. And I get that train of thought. Two things. Number one, Robinson is still learning the system, learning the offensive system. So, I mean, there's only so much that you can implement with him in the lineup and that he's prepared for and understands with that offensive scheme. Also, you know, I really don't, and I'm not saying this is what Scooter was saying, but I don't look at the 49ers of having the luxury of not going all out to beat anybody at this point. You got it. Like, you got to win this game against New Orleans. If that means CMC has to have, like Jesse said, 30, 35 touches in the game, so be it. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to win this game. When you get into a situation, maybe if you're up 2-3 scores late in the game, yeah, you don't need him out there, you know, taking snaps at that point. Maybe you can get more to Robinson to close it out. But just in general with this team, week two and in the future, I understand everybody's concerned. I'm concerned as well. But this is the team you got. This is your best chance to win. And you're not going into any of these games, I believe, saying we got to conserve Christian McCaffrey. Like, you're doing whatever that game calls at that time. That game on Sunday, and that might have been the case on Sunday. Maybe you didn't want to give him all those catches or give him all those – but we had to win.
Yeah.
So – when you saw what was going on in the third quarter and you lost Kittle and you lost Juwan Jennings, all right, CMC, you out there every snap. Like, we've got to win, and you give us the best opportunity to win. It's unfortunate, but I'm not worried about the snap count at that point.
Unless you are specifically doctor prescribed snap count, minutes restriction, something like that, I don't think players, whether they're coming off missed practices or non-serious ailments, I don't think that that's realistic. Oh man, we don't need to get the ball 30 times to Chris. No, like once you're out there, you're there. And if the right play is to find Christian McCaffrey, you find Christian McCaffrey. If the right play is to find Christian McCaffrey 6 times in a row, you find Christian McCaffrey 6 times in a row. You find Christian McCaffrey or whoever this player is until the defense stops you. Mm-hmm. And I know we talk about that as fans. I know we talk about that, you know, kind of just as talking points about like teams and just sports conversations and all that. I don't think those are realistic conversations in locker rooms unless it's prescribed by a doctor. And in that case, normally you're told that. Mm. Yeah, so-and-so is going to be on a snap count today. And it's rarely a wide receiver or a running back.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens. It's just I don't think that – it doesn't appear at all that that was the case with Christian McCaffrey. So we don't need to turn it into one and say, oh, his usage rate was too high. No, he was effective for you.
Yeah. And
in two different facets of the game.
And I don't think Kyle Shanahan likes to coach like that. I think he's a believer of if you're going to play, you're going to play with the full playbook. Like we're not
right.
doing
yeah.
snap counts, none of that other stuff. If you can't do that, then I'm going to just have you sit because the way my offense goes and the way I like to coach when you talk about Kyle Shanahan, I need everybody out there to be on full display and be at the top of their capabilities. So if there's any concern about snap count or anything, I think Kyle would just sit the player.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. TCG says right here, this is what we're talking about. Second game of the season, it is not must win. You overplay Christian McCaffrey and get him hurt for the rest of the season. Season over. You have capable bodies to spell him. BRJ and Renardo use them. And that's kind of what we were just talking about. I don't think that's a thing. You just have to play him. I don't think they look at it like, oh, it's a long season. Here's what we're going to do. It's we've got the Saints coming up this week. How can we win that game?
All right. And here's the other thing, TCG, that I disagree with. You're not the 2023 49ers. You're not the Eagles where you can say, we can fall back on this game because we're probably going to win 13, 14 games or something like that. Like we're good. That's not where the Niners are. The Niners are a fringe contender.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get into a situation where if you get to the playoffs, number one, get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Number two, get to the playoffs. You want to make sure it's because you won a division and you got a home game. In that respect, 18 games isn't as many games as you think. And if you've got an opportunity to win, you go into the game thinking we need to handle business. Now, once you get into the game, and like I said, you're up 24 points at the start of the fourth quarter, yes, you make the adjustment. You give Robinson more snaps or anything like that, or Garrido more snaps. But going into the game, we're not going to overwork CMC. You don't have that luxury. You're not that team right now where you can do that.
Yeah, and that's the other component too. Like you could get hurt at any moment, whether it's Christian McCaffrey or it's Fred Warner, or it's Trent Williams, mm-hmm. or it's Juwan Jennings, or it's George Kittle, or it's Brock Purdy. You've got one All-Pro that's healthy right now. You're going to have to utilize him.
Absolutely.
And I say healthy. This was the one we were the most worried about going into Sunday. Every other name we just referenced happened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to play guys while you can't. Who's to say you play Christian McCaffrey 50 snaps? He comes out great, but Fred Warner gets hurt in the first quarter. Mm. Or Bosa gets hurt. Like, that's just that's why I say I don't think teams approach games like this.
No, you were conservative with how you brought him back last year and all this other stuff, and he gets hurt in the first quarter of the game against the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know people like to think that, oh, if you just don't play a guy – it's going to make them more healthier. Mm-hmm. That's not how things work.
Load management.
Yeah, that's not how it works. That's not reality. There are guys who play every snap and don't get hurt. There are guys who step out there after load management or not playing a whole lot and get hurt in the first 5 minutes of the game. If there was an exact science, everybody, then everybody would do it.
And we also point out Christian McCaffrey could be a big reason. If Mac Jones is successful, if Mac Jones plays this weekend, and if Mac Jones is successful this weekend, I think a big reason for that will be what Christian McCaffrey is able to bring to to this conversation. Again, knowing that George Kittle is out, not quite knowing the status of Juwan Jennings, who I think is getting a CT scan today, which we probably won't get the results on until either late today or tomorrow. But you want to put your quarterback in a position to be successful because, you know, obviously Kyle Shanahan, that 49ers front office, they know more than we do, but we might think Brock is out one game, but in reality, Brock could be out two games, three games, four games. And if that's the case, you not only need to find a way to win games, you need to find a way to build confidence in Mac Jones as this thing goes along to where he can manage all this. Because if that's the case, if it's completely hypothetical situation right there, he's going to be doing it all without George Kittle too. Like, we know that for sure. We don't know the status of everybody else, but we know that about George Kittle, and you have to do things that just allow Mac Jones the ability to build confidence. And with Kyle Shanahan as a play caller, I feel like we're in a similar conversation that we were a week ago or 2 weeks ago with the Los Angeles Rams. Their season dramatically changes if Matt Stafford is out for a lengthy period of time and Jimmy Garoppolo becomes your quarterback. Now, the one thing that you could hang on to is the success that Jimmy Garoppolo had with Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. And if there is a single coach in the entire league that could potentially replicate that, it's Sean McVay. We haven't really seen any level of success with Mac Jones, but he's a young quarterback who, with a, you know, injuries aside, a solid offense, one of the best play callers in the league, he might be in his very best position to succeed that he's been in his career. Yeah. Sam Darnold, like, that was the you go back to Sam Darnold, it was the first glimpse, like, hey, it was in San Francisco. Sam Darnold appears to be a good quarterback. Like, he's out of the dysfunction of the New York Jets organization. He's out of the dysfunction of some of the other places that he's been. He looks all right. And I thought he was fine on Sunday. You know, we'll see how the season plays out for him. And obviously he was really successful last year with Minnesota. Kyle deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, Sam Darnold certainly does too, but Kyle deserves a lot of credit for that. And this could be a situation where, yo, you have an opportunity to turn a young quarterback who isn't bad into something that could be pretty serviceable for you.
Kyle Shanahan is one of those coaches like a Sean McVay, like you just mentioned. Maybe like a Kevin O'Connell. We'll talk about that soon. Matt LaFleur, where they're good enough with their game plans, their strategy, that their rule seems to be, if you don't turn the ball over, I can make this a success. And I mentioned guys like C.J. Beathard, like Nick Mullins, how they were able to move the ball. They were able to look competent as NFL quarterbacks under Kyle Shanahan, regardless of who the pass catchers were and what the weapons were around them. You look at somebody like, I'm drawing a blank on the backup they had last year that Kyle loved for whatever reason that ended up playing in the Green Bay game. Yeah. I don't know why Kyle loved him so much and ended up playing in the Green Bay game.
He's still here, isn't he?
No.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
No, he's not.
Okay.
I don't believe. But they had an opportunity in that Green Bay game. Number one, their defense couldn't stop the run, and that was an issue. But the thing that really killed him was Brandon Allen turning the ball over in that game. So I look at all those type of guys, all those type of players, who Mac Jones, who I don't think is like this great quarterback, he's better than those guys. The biggest key is not turning the ball over. If he can take care of the football, not put it on the ground, not throw an interception like he did in that Raiders game in the preseason. That was very frustrating because he just stared down a receiver, threw it into triple coverage, and it got picked off. If he can avoid that, I think Kyle Shanahan can do a lot of good things with Mac Jones under center for one, two games, potentially more.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Hopefully not one.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. This is all just Tuesday talk, right? We learned yesterday that Brock Purdy has a shoulder issue that I guess he dealt with during the game, and a toe issue, which, according to Kyle Shanahan, was actually worse than the shoulder. So we're getting reports from Adam Schefter now that veteran kicker Eddie Pinheiro is going to come in and visit the San Francisco 49ers today. And he could be the guy who winds up replacing Jake Moody.
Mm.
So the thing about that is, you know, we did the common core math a minute ago on Jake Moody. We also did old school math on Jake Moody, and it's bad. He's not good. But we also have to. So, excuse me, the math says, well, he's going to be better. Like, whoever the kicker is, it's going to be better. It's almost mathematically impossible for them to be worse.
Right.
He is 11 percentage points worse dating back to week 10 of the NFL season than any other kicker in the league. So just that alone says, okay, we're probably upgrading. But also the idea that, okay, all of our special teams concerns are gone, that's probably a little short-sighted. He misses his first kick, all 49er fans are going to be bugging out. He'll have to make his next, like, 50 for 49er fans to calm down. But we probably have to have a resetting of expectations here at the kicker position. Justin Tucker, you know, prior to a year ago, was just an incredibly accurate kicker. It fell off pretty quick. There weren't a lot of – there's a handful, a very, very small handful of automatic kickers in the league. But a lot of them – they're just not. And so you don't want to be 52%, but the idea that all of a sudden you're going to be 95 to 100% is probably a little off as well.
For sure. For sure. What I would want if I was Kyle Shanahan is I would want confidence in my kicker from 40 to 49 yards. I mean, 30 to 39 goes without saying.
Yeah.
Obviously, 20 to 29 goes without saying. But I would want to be able to be on an offensive possession, have the football, and what's that? That's, you know, when I get anywhere around the 25-yard line, have confidence that, okay, I'm going to it's a drive that kind of stalled out a little bit, but we're good here. We're good in this 40-yard range. And that's something that he had lost with Jake Moody. Mm-hmm. And that's – at this point, we see guys making 59-yard field goals, 60, 70 in the preseason, 40, 45 yards. That's the bare basics at this point.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, as an NFL kicker, like as soon as that offense crosses the 35-yard line, like, all right, if we hit fourth down and we don't get a first down, like, you're going to have to hit this kick right here.
Yeah.
Because I think at that point, like, the most is like a 52-yarder.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And he
and that's
that.
Not even factoring in the time of the game, the moment of the game, the pressure. That's not even factoring in any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like you come back from, you know, you were down 13. You score 10 straight. You've got a chance to tie that. You've got to hit that kick. Like your offense and defense have busted their ass to get to this point. You've got to hit that. You've got to hit that kick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
And credit to Jake Moody. He finally did. took some time. But he wound up hitting it.
Look, like I said during the game.
Boss?
Like I said, we just playing.
Well, no, come on. That's a fun pause. That's not an egregious pause.
Sorry, right, refs on lunch.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Hey, Earl Hebner was distracted. Mr. Fuji was distracting the official.
Like I said during the game on Sunday though, he made that kick, man. Ain't no high fives, ain't no good job. Just go to the bench, bro.
It's a seeing eye single, Kyle.
Just go to the bench. Hey, no, hey, there you go, big dog. Get to the bench.
Well,
bro.
To I guess everyone's credit, no one celebrated it. Like he got cut 2 days later. Like, no one, he didn't get points for not missing that one. They just like, yeah.
I hope they didn't celebrate it in real time, too. Just walked off the field.
Oh, that'd be so amazing.
Get on the bench, bro. Get on the bench. Like, there's nothing to celebrate here. You finally did your job, and I don't have to throw my helmet. Thanks. Goodbye.
What do you think about this? Jalen Carter is fined $57,000 and some change for spitting on Dak Prescott. The league also says the game he was ejected for will serve as a one-game suspension. Is that the right call?
That's fair, yeah. That's fair. I mean, it was literally after the first play of the game, so you missed the entire
game. Actually didn't play. It was the kickoff. Like, he never took a snap. Like, he was never part of the snap.
The clock barely ran. It was like 6 seconds. 14:54 on the clock. That's fair. That's fair, because I do think that is suspension worthy,
yeah.
But no more than one game, and the timing of it all, he basically got suspended for that game. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
Yeah, I think I am too. I always think that's a little weird when that happens, but given the unique nature in which he was,
right.
The fact that he didn't actually play before he was suspended feels totally fair. Make your plans to be with us this coming Monday. The Las Vegas Raiders, the Los Angeles Chargers, the second game of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. We will be watching it together at 32 Brew Street at Sky River Casino. Kickoff, 7 o'clock. There's a game before that. We're going to hang out and watch that one, too. As soon as this show is over, we're going to head out to Sky River Casino, 32 Brew Street. So, again, Raider Nation or just Chatty House.
Yeah, pull up.
Yeah, come hang out with us, man. We're going to have a good time. It's not one of those things where we got to be on stage and do the show. We're literally going to hang out and watch football together.
Yeah, man.
That's the plan. This is just a full-on watch party. So make your plans to be with us.
A little champagne and a campaign.
It, baby.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's it, baby. This Monday, Monday Night Football, Raiders, Chargers, watch it with D'Lo and KC at 32 Brew Street at Sky River Casino. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the game last night. Certainly some interesting things from the rookie, J.J. McCarthy. And...
Yikes.
Yeah. Boy, the pressure is on that young man, something vicious, to the point where we were even making fun of his pregame. He also needs to take that stupid-ass dry fit off. He looks ridiculous.
This is the NFL, man.
He looks ridiculous.
Overall decision-making.
Stick around. We're going to trash Caleb Williams when we get back here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.